Well, it's good to be here. I wanted to bring my laptop up. I'm not sure if I'm going to use it, but I want to look as smart as Lanny up here. How's everyone this morning? Isn't it good to worship the Lord? I mean, we are here because He has called us. Because He has touched our hearts. Because He has sought us out. You may have thought, you know, it was your own decision. You may have thought that, well, I guess I'll go to church today, or sometime in the past, I think I'll be a Christian. I think I'll follow Jesus. But at a much deeper level than that, He called you. He called you to be His child. He picked you out and chose you to be a son or daughter of God. So I just want to take a minute as we pray and as we enter into the Word. We are entering into a time of receiving the living Word of God. You know, I don't want it to just be my opinion, my teaching, even my teaching based on the Bible, which you probably don't want to hear, actually. We may think these are good things, but we need to go deeper. We need to hunger and thirst for the living Word of God. And that's what I felt to really pray this morning. So let's pray together and join our hearts together. Father God, we just come before You. We come before You as Your sons and daughters, or even those that are being sought out by You and haven't stepped over that line to be a son or daughter of God. But Lord, we come to You seeking to know You better. We come to You, Lord, to know Your truth. Lord, to receive of Your living Word. And so we ask that You open our hearts to do that today. That You make our hearts good ground and make our minds open and receptive to all that You have for us. Lord, we say, come Holy Spirit, Spirit of wisdom and revelation. Reveal Jesus to us. Reveal Your purposes to us. Plant Your living Word in our hearts that it may flourish and grow. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen? Amen. All right. Let's see what my computer's doing here. We're going to talk about repentance today. And as our guys are getting the slides up, I'm going to talk about repentance from the theme of the kingdom of God. And I don't know about you, growing up as a teenager, I was kind of raised in a nominal Christian home. My parents didn't go to church that much. My mom went some. They knew it was a good thing to send us to church, so they kind of sent us to church. And the Lord started working in my life as a teenager. But I remember a point as probably a young teenager. There's a neighboring town where we went shopping, and there was the end of a busy street, and there's a very kind of prominent church building there. And I don't know if they were attempting a outreach or to make a statement or what, but they had this huge banner for a long time across the front of this church that said, "Repent." And it was the end of the street. It was just one block over from the busiest street in town. And it was the end of the street where you'd go, you know, if you were shopping or something, you might cut down this street, you know, and you'd be looking at this church going down the street, "Repent." And I'm not sure the impression that leaves on you, but I know as a young teenager, I didn't feel like going to that church. It wasn't a powerful outreach to me. And it conjured up images, you know, and I don't know what went on. It conjured up images to me of, some preacher kind of yelling and pointing his finger, you know, and condemning me. And so when I think of the word repent and I think of the theme of repentance, that's the kind of the first knee-jerk response that I get. Anybody kind of feel like, I don't know if I want to do that. I don't know if I like repentance. Now, that's my knee-jerk response. Now, I've been trained in the kingdom for a while, And I've become a lot more positive because I understand more what repentance is. Repentance is simply a change of heart and a change of mind. And it's a turnaround, a 180, and go a different direction. So repentance in the kingdom is a very positive thing. When we realize, hey, I'm going the wrong way, I need to turn around. And God's revealed that to us. So I want to talk about the power, the positive power of kingdom repentance. All right. Does that sound good? You can say this means yes. Okay. The positive power of kingdom repentance. And it is a positive thing in the kingdom. Let me just stick with my notes here. We're going to demonstrate how repentance is a positive key to personal growth and change. We're going to identify core issues in repentance and the peripheral issues. Repentance, here's three main points. I like to give the main points right up front. Number one, repentance is a change of governments. Number two, repentance is an ongoing process. And number three, repentance will lead to a renewed mind. All good things, okay? The first question, I'm going to let you guys click. I'm just going to click here and I'll just let you guys click along. We won't worry about the clicker. Because the clicker doesn't work. Well, it's kind of working. See my animations? Ooh. Anyway, there's some other cool animations in here. I don't want you to get distracted by it. What did Jesus do without technology? I mean, you know, he basically changed the whole world and didn't have PowerPoint. He didn't have sound system. You know, he didn't have electrical instruments. You know, we joked around about it. Me and Lee Holland have joked around about it. What did Jesus do without all this stuff? You know, he just had the power of the Holy Spirit and he got the job done, didn't he? So we're not trusting in technology. If it works, it's great and it's helpful. And if it doesn't work, you know, we're going to go for it anyway. Amen. All right. In the kingdom, the first question you need to ask as you're entering the kingdom is, who is in charge of your life? Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, then you're saved. You've stepped over the line. You've made that choice. You've changed governments. You've changed who's in control of your life. Okay? And the next verse is a powerful follow-up to that. Jesus is Lord. God raised him from the dead. You shall be saved. For with the heart, for with the mouth. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So it's a heart change. And it's a verbal, it's an outward commitment that you make. So how many like the idea of being right? Okay. Husbands, look at your wives. If they don't have their hands up, wives, look at your husbands. If he doesn't have his hand up. Okay. And I remember the, do you remember Happy Days? Now we're dating ourselves, I know. I remember when Fonzie was actually wrong. And he really couldn't. He couldn't say it. Okay, but to really be right before God, we need to make a change of governments. All right, for with the mouth confession is made to salvation. Okay, you saw this technology here. So, which kingdom are you a part of? Is the next point. He rescued us from the domain of darkness, Colossians says, and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. From the domain of darkness. A kingdom is the king's domain. Darkness has a domain. Light has a domain. Satan has a domain. God has a domain. We are born, unfortunately, under Satan's domain. We may not like that. We may have been raised up thinking, according to the Western worldview, that, you know, I'm my own person. I make my own decisions. Okay? But really, you were born as a slave to sin. And you were trapped in Satan's domain. And it took God coming to rescue you to be transferred out of that domain. And so you had to make a change. He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. And so there's two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of Satan, and there's the kingdom of God. So we go from one kingdom, from the kingdom of Satan, we go to the kingdom of God. We're doing a slide for that? Yeah. Okay. You guys, just follow along intuitively. I love the software. They say it's intuitive. You know, this is very intuitive software. And I go, I'm not getting it. Okay. It's not intuitive to me. Repentance is a change of governments. The final point under that is, what was your nature before you came to Jesus? And Pastor Lanny has referred to this quite a bit. John 8:44 says, you were of your father, the devil. Now, that's harsh. But if it's true, I need to know that. Okay? Ephesians 2:3 says we were children of wrath. If John 8:34 says we were slaves to sin. And have this passage from the New Living Translation. Once you were dead, doomed forever because of your many sins, you used to live like the rest of the world, full of sin, obeying Satan, the mighty prince of the power of the air. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. Do you get that little twist? Okay. Satan is, if you're refusing to obey God, if you're neglecting to obey God, he's the source of that. All right. And your sin is not all the stuff that you do specifically. Okay. They are sins, but there's a difference between sin, like with a capital S, and sin or sins that you do. Okay. The fact that you refuse to obey God is the real sin. The fact that you choose to follow Jesus and confess him as Lord and boss of your life is the real answer, is the real true repentance. You turn from living your own way to living God's way. Okay. Well, what about my sins? Well, we're going to deal with those on an individual basis as you walk with the Lord. Okay, I've done a lot of repenting throughout my life. I felt like, I thought it was kind of funny this morning. I was thinking, you know, Lord, you know, help me open the Word this morning. And I felt like, you know, if anybody has to speak on repentance, I think I'm a good person to do that. Because I've done a lot of it. And when I teach the Communion with God class, one of the things that we learn to overcome, that we learn as you're quieting yourself down, as you're coming to Jesus, as you're focusing on him, as you're listening for his voice, okay, one of the sources of static that comes up is, yeah, but you did this, you know, or you know, what about this sin? Or God's not going to receive you because you did that, or you said that, or you did this terrible thing. And we teach people, okay, as you're coming to the Lord, those things may come up. And I was talking about that just a week or so ago. You know, I've had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times when I'm coming to the Lord to meet with the Lord, and I repent of sin. Lord, forgive me of this. Now, there's a difference between repenting of sins before you come to Jesus, which is really kind of a work of the flesh. Judas repented for the sin of betraying Jesus, but he found no salvation. Judas had remorse. It's actually a different Greek word there when Judas repented. And then he went out, and what did he do? He hung himself. He had deep remorse for betraying the Lord. But it didn't change his direction. See, when we repent, we may have deep remorse. We may have different levels of sorrow for something wrong that we've done. Okay, but the big thing is, have you done the big repentance and turned to follow Jesus? Does that make sense? Okay, so that's where we're changing. That's the direction that we're going. So he's a spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passions and desires of our evil nature. We were born with an evil nature, just as we were under God's anger, like everyone else. So before you come to Christ, you are already under God's anger. You're under God's judgment, okay, as a sinner. Okay, we celebrate children. We celebrate babies. You know, wait till they get about two, you know, and you say, do this. And they go,
No.
You know, I had my precious little girls, you know, just throwing temper tantrums. I thought, I guess there is a sin nature. Right? You know, these sweet little children just, right? No, I don't want to do it. See? You think there's no sin nature? There's a sin nature. It's in us. Okay? We want to do it, as Frank Sinatra said, my way. Okay. So you go from the nature of, which is what, how's my slide? We go from the, I got to get my left and my right, correct. We go from the nature of sin, which is Satan. Satan kind of invented sin. If he invented anything, okay, he invented sin. All right, because he was the first being in all the cosmos to rebel against God, to say no to God. Okay, now that's not much creativity. You know, everything he does is either the counterfeit of something good or the opposite of something good. Okay, so the opposite of submission and obedience to God is sin, okay, in its very nature. So, who said this? I started to get on that. Who said repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand? Anybody know? John the Baptist was the first. That was kind of his life message, his whole theme. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What does that mean, to be at hand? It's here. It's within reach. It's at hand. You can reach it. Okay? So it's time to go a different direction. Now, he preached to who? To the Jews, to Israel, who had a basis in truth, had a basis in righteousness, and yet were not obeying it. So he's saying, turn, repent, and pursue righteousness. For the kingdom of heaven is near to you. It's at hand. Who else also said that? Jesus preached that. Okay, several references in the Gospels. That's one of the first messages he preached. Repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at near. So repentance is a step toward entering the kingdom. Okay, we kingdom church. We preach the kingdom. We believe in the kingdom. What is the kingdom? What is it? Does anybody know? You want to take a shot at it? We're a kingdom church. And we talk a lot about the kingdom. And I ask people, what's the kingdom? Take a shot at it. Anybody? Huh? God's rule and reign. Amen. She's not even a plant. It's God's rule. The kingdom is the king's domain. The king's rule. So when God's will is being done, what is that prayer? God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It seemed like that was an important prayer I read somewhere. That when the king's will is being done on earth, as it is in heaven, guess what? The kingdom of God is also called the kingdom of heaven. All right? So we're bringing a little bit of heaven to earth by doing it God's way rather than doing it my way. Okay? Things start to get changed. Now, that can be in the miracles that you see here from time to time, in the healings that you see. Why can we pray in faith for someone to be healed? Because there's no sickness in heaven. Okay? You know, why can we pray in faith for someone to be delivered of a demon? Because there's no demons in heaven. Okay, so we're praying the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, down to earth. Is God's will always perfectly done on the earth? No, because God's kingdom is not fully manifested yet. When's that going to happen? I read something about a 1,000-year reign coming up in the not-too-distant future. Right? Then the kingdom will be fully manifested. So Jesus said to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What does that statement mean? We talked about it. How is kingdom life lived out? Now here's a little question. I'm just going to give you the answer. The kingdom is lived out by the power of the Holy Spirit as we manifest Jesus in the earth. So not just the signs and wonders, not just the miracles. This is a squeaky floor here. Not just the signs and wonders, not just the miracles, okay? But whenever we obey God, whenever we do the small things, you know, we think small things. We think the miracles are big deals. And we think, you know, daily living right before God and keeping ourselves pure in our lives and you know, is a small thing. But really, I think they're the big things, okay? Just loving Jesus and keeping our hearts right before God. But as we're doing those things in obedience and love to the Lord, all right, we're manifesting the kingdom. So repentance is one dimension of turning away from something that we find does not please God and turning to the things that please God. So repentance is kind of the springboard to say, okay, I'm going to repent from this and I'm going to receive the power of the Holy Spirit to live differently. Because guess what? If you try to do it without the power of the Holy Spirit, you're going to flop. You ever try that? I'm going to quit this. I'm going to quit this. I'm never going to do that again. Does anybody have such strong will that you've never said, I'm never going to do something again and then done it anyway? I think we've all done that. Right? You have that strong will, right? You've never done that. Okay. I know, that was a confusing way I put it. So, repentance from sin is kind of the springboard to receiving the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to show you that. What did the Apostle Paul preach? Look over here in Acts 19. While Paul was in Corinth, while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled to the inner provinces. Finally, he came to Ephesus, where he found several believers. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? He asked them. No, they replied. We don't know what you mean. We haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Now, I look at Paul as kind of the master equipper. So he finds some people that are believers in God. They apparently were not Jews, but they were believers in God. And he discerned in his spirit that they were believers, and they immediately connected up as Paul arrived in the town. And he begins to discern where they are so he can add something to their walk in the Lord. So he's a master equipper. Okay? And he says, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believe? And they said, we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. He goes, whoa, how would you not know there is a Holy Spirit? He said, what baptism did you experience? And they said, the baptism of John. Now, a little side note there. There's Mike Wagner. I promised him I was going to do that. Mike Wagner is going to do baptisms next week. Next week. And Paul says, how is it you haven't even heard of the Holy Spirit? How are you baptized? Okay, there are some churches that baptize in the name of Jesus only. Okay. But that kind of belies the point here that Paul says apparently the formula for the church to baptize was in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, not in the name of Jesus only, because he says, how is it you haven't even heard of the Holy Spirit? Okay? How are you baptized? And they said, the baptism of John. Oh, the baptism of John, the forerunner before Jesus. So Paul has to catch them up a little bit. They had missed a little part of the story there. They were far enough away from Jerusalem. They were in a different part of the known world. John's baptism, Paul says, was to demonstrate a desire to turn from sin and to turn to God. John himself told the people to believe in Jesus, the one John said would come later. Okay? So Paul fills them in. Say, okay, there's some things that have happened since you came to God. And he said, John's baptism was to turn from sin and turn to God, but he was pointing the way to Jesus. As soon as they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. And they were about 12 men in all. Now, this is a cool thing to me because this shows what repentance is supposed to lead to. Repentance is not just a place where you stay in your Christian walk. Repentance is the springboard. Okay, I need to turn from something. I need to turn to God, and I'm going to do that in the power of the Holy Spirit. So they were rebaptized in the name of Jesus and the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they were rebaptized and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to receive some of the evidence of the gifts of the Spirit, the tongues, the prophecy, the different kind of manifestations that the Holy Spirit will bring upon us as we submit our hearts to Him and as we seek Him. Okay, so they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they were empowered to live this life at a greater degree. And that's where we all need to be going for. I've had that in my initial Christian experience. It was a very dramatic, very life-changing thing to be baptized or be filled with the Holy Spirit, okay, and to receive that anointing from God. It was a change. The tongues thing did happen, and it's continued since then, you know. But we're not doctrinaire about that here. We don't say, okay, if you don't speak in tongues, you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. We just say, hey, look, seek it. Be hungry for it. Be hungry for all the gifts of God. It was cool to have tongues. It was better to prophesy. Okay? It was really cool when somebody got healed when I prayed. Okay? Well, who's doing that? It's not me. So am I filled with the Holy Spirit if I pray for somebody and they get healed? Probably. Right? So let's not be doctrinaire about it and split hairs over. But, you know, there's more to this thing than just going to church. Right? I mean, you're not sitting here on a Sunday morning when you could be out on the water or doing any number of things just because it's a religious thing to do, right? Okay? I'm here because I want more of God. And I think most of you are here because you want more of God. Because God has touched your heart, He's drawn you, and He wants you to be filled with Him, with His power, with His presence, to change the world around us. It's okay to say amen. Amen. I like Bill Johnson go. He'll go over there and go, amen, brother, that was good. Okay. Repentance, my next point, repentance leads to a renewed heart and mind. In our journey toward more of Jesus in our lives, we often find the need for ongoing forgiveness and cleansing. Okay? In Hebrews 6, calls repentance one of the foundational doctrines of the faith. And we don't relay that foundation of repentance from dead works. That means you don't have to keep asking God to forgive you for something that you've already asked God to forgive you for. Right? But why do I still feel guilty? Why do I still feel bad about it? Why does it still bug me? Why do you think that is? Part of it's our own unforgiveness. We're not forgiving ourselves. Can't get out of my mind. Sometimes we're still living with the consequences of it. Right? And it's still like, man, you know, I wish I hadn't done that. You know, I got the consequences. What was that Reliant K song I told you about? You know, I so hate consequences. You know? You know, Maria teaches, my wife teaches high school, you know, and she teaches kids about consequences. There are consequences for your actions. You're free to choose virtually whatever you want to do, but you can't choose what? The consequences. So sometimes when we're forgiven for something, we still feel guilty about it. Okay, our own conscience condemns us because we have what the book of Hebrews calls an evil conscience. All right, it's a guilt complex. We still feel guilty for things that are already dealt with and move on. Okay, so our own conscience can condemn us. Plus, we have, what do we have in the spirit realm? We have an enemy called Satan and a host of demons that like to hang out from time to time and remind you what a lousy person you were or are or continue to be. Right? So we have the little demon on one shoulder whispering in the ear, you know, going, you know, yeah, that was really bad. You know, you're right. Brr, 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 you know, you need to knock him off and focus on Jesus. Because the more you're hearing from God, the more you're focusing on Jesus, the more, you know, His voice will have no effect. Okay? And He'll just have to go away. Sometimes you got to turn around and just say, I rebuke you. Get out of here. I'm already forgiven. I'm cleansed. Okay? I know your future, so let's not talk about my past. Okay? And then He'll have to flee. Okay? So, repentance will lead to a renewed heart and mind, is my final point. 1 John 1:9. Now, we notice we didn't talk a lot about confessing sin, per se, because when you come to Jesus for your initial salvation experience, you confess Jesus as Lord. Okay? I've talked to people. I've known people that said, you know, when they came to the altar to get saved, and somebody said, confess all your sins before God, they went, man, this is going to take some time. You know, and he's going through a list of sins. You know, again, forgive me for this. You go, you know, and you know, you don't have to confess all your sins. Okay, you just confess the fact that you're a sinner, and you're looking to the cross of Jesus Christ, where he bled and died. And he was not only on the outward, he's bleeding and dying, he's suffering. You've seen The Passion, right? You've seen the movie The Passion. I mean, that's probably about how it went. I mean, I know it's gross, okay? But this was not, you know, just this little blonde-haired, blue-eyed Jesus with a couple specks of blood, okay? He was beaten to a pulp, okay? He suffered that on the outward, but part of that was symbolic of what he was suffering. He was made to be sin for us, that we can become the righteousness of God in Christ. So you confess Jesus as your Lord. That's not just his title, confess Jesus as Lord. That's Jesus, you be the boss of my life. You know, and there might even be some people sitting here, you know, I've chosen to be a Christian, I want to be a Christian, but I'm not sure. I've turned from some sins, and my life's been cleaned up, but I'm not sure that I've made Jesus the boss of my life. I've chosen him to be the unequivocal and absolute leader of my life, and I'm going to identify with Christ the rest of my life. See, that's the choice that we make, confessing Jesus as Lord, believing that God raised him from the dead. I've dealt with families. When I was pastoring full-time, I had families. And I sit down with families. Maybe the mom was a new Christian, and she's wanting her family to come to church. And I sit down, and I said, do you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead? And a lot of people go, yeah, I believe that. And I'm going, how do you know that? Were you there 2,000 years ago? No, no. Have you ever heard people argue against it? Well, probably, you know. But, do you really believe it happened? Yes. Well, then you're halfway there. Right? Because that is a gift in itself. That revelation is a gift in itself, that you believe God raised Jesus from the dead. Okay? That's a miracle that everybody doesn't believe in. Did you know that? I mean, there's good historical evidence for it. You can argue it on the basis of revelation. You can argue it on the basis of logic. There's good historical evidence for it. There's no reason not to believe it, in my opinion. But there's a lot of people that don't believe it. Okay? So half of the equation to coming to Jesus is believing God raised Jesus from the dead. And the other half is making him your Lord. Making him the boss of your life. Jesus, I want to follow you. Okay? And so as you're following him, you're going to get tripped up along the way with sins. Not the big sin of rebelling against God, but little sins of the flesh and of the tongue and of behavior and of the mind, right? Come on, guys. You know, if Jesus kind of, you know, nailed it for us, he said, you know, if you look at a woman and lust after her, you know, you've committed adultery already in your heart. Okay? Just the intention is a sin. Okay? So we can really get down to the finer and finer things here. So as we're growing, we're coming to the Lord, we're meeting with the Lord, we realize, hey, there's something, I've really blown it. And we confess our sins, 1 John 1:9, we confess it, and then he's faithful and just. Now, you know, faithful means he'll do it every time, right? We sang a song about God being faithful and true this morning. And just, in other words, it's still right for him to forgive you again. You ever feel like that? Like, God, I've done this a dozen times, 100 times, you know, maybe, I don't know how many times. God, will you forgive me again? Yes. The answer is yes. So you've already made the big choice to follow Jesus. The fact that you're there and you care about this, okay, shows the Holy Spirit's working in your heart to convict of sin and to cleanse you. So, you go from a self-energized life to a God-energized life, a life full of the Holy Spirit, okay? And repentance is the springboard. And repentance is something that you repent from a lifestyle of doing it your own way, okay? And then as you're walking with, you don't have to repent from those things anymore. And as you're walking with the Lord, if the Lord brings certain things to mind that you need to be cleansed from, you repent of those smaller things along the way. Does that make sense? Okay? She goes from a self-energized life to a God-energized life. So we have to do more from just becoming good people. We have to learn to walk in the Spirit. The goal of repentance is not just to get cleaned up. The goal of repentance is to follow Jesus. Okay? And to walk in the Spirit and learn to listen to the Spirit. That's one of the things we teach in the Communion with God class. We teach you to hear the voice of God so that you can learn to daily live out of that communion with God, that fellowship with the Lord. So our next steps, as we kind of wind this up, is there a particular area of your life that God's asking you to deal with? Is there a particular area that you're struggling with? Maybe there's a repetitive sin. Hebrews calls it a besetting sin, or one that you stumble over constantly, that you'd like to be free from. Is there a hunger in your heart for more of God? And my final thought is, what kind of sign, not literal, but the sign on our hearts and on our lives, what kind of sign do you want in front of our church? Are we expressing the love of Jesus to the world? Had a situation that kind of bothered me. A company I used to work for, a window manufacturer down in the southern part of Virginia. And it was interesting that when I first toured the plant, little workstations had radios and stuff like that. You know, and then I toured the plant a couple years later, and I noticed there were no radios. And I found out that certain, you know, the Christians kind of were offended that, you know, people were listening to country music or people listening to rock music, you know, and they brought up this offense to management, so they outlawed all radios. So now you can't have music at your workstation. You know, I thought, is that the witness that I want Christianity to be known for? You know, it doesn't seem like the point, does it? It doesn't seem like the point. The point is, are we living lives of authentic Christians, pursuing God, loving people, turning from wrong? Okay, we do need to turn from wrong. We do need to admit it when we're wrong. And so I want to have an opportunity for prayer. I have a video, and then after the video, Mike, you know, if you have some transition things that you have to do, then I want to be available, and maybe there'll be a team of people to pray for people, okay? Because if God's dealing with something in your heart that you want to get dealt with before God and have prayer for, or if you're just saying, I'm really hungry for more of God, I'd like to get closer to God, or what is this Holy Spirit stuff, you know? I'd like to be filled with the Holy Spirit and know it. Okay, there's people here that will pray with you about that. So whatever level of hunger and desire you have for more of God, we have a prayer team that will pray with you this morning and connect with you and agree with you. And we have people that know how to pray. Maybe you've prayed and hit the wall on these things in the past, but I believe God will give you breakthrough this morning. Amen? Amen. Would you play that video?
Don, thank you for that message and for that video. As I was watching that video, I thought this. I thought there's freedom.
Yes.
There's liberation.
Yes.
In the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, we've been going through the gospel of the kingdom, and I'm going to pick it up next week and talk a little bit more about baptism. But the whole point of the gospel of the kingdom is it's more than just salvation. It's about freedom. It's about being liberated.
Yes.
And what really struck me in Don's message, he didn't really talk to it, but was the issue of repentance. And did you see the slide that was up there? There's repentance. And what that word means in the Greek, it means a new mind or a changing of our thinking or a changing of our mind. Sometimes after we come to the Lord, you know, we can repent and turn away, but that old thinking still comes in and pops in and keeps going. In fact, Katrina was praying over me earlier this morning about that very thing. The old thinking comes back. The encouragement here is that because of the gospel of the kingdom, we have that freedom, that liberation that we saw in that video. That we can have a successful life and a successful change in our mind. But even more to the point is we can take somebody by the hand and we can show them that freedom as well.
Yes.